We will be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's no surprise that we're looking in a world that tries to keep us looking for something new, looking for something flashy, so to speak. You know, the world wants us to listen to their voices. They are trying to distract us from what God is saying every step of the way. They resort to trying to drown out God's voice. They want to flood us with how much is going on to get us off of our focus on Him. But God is so much greater than what the enemy's trying to do. God has the victory, and He's given it to His believers. He's given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. But that doesn't stop the enemy from trying to mount his charge. It doesn't stop the enemy from trying to keep pressing in. It doesn't negate the facts that the tactics that he will try to do against us. But we can be wise to them. And we can prepare ourselves by knowing who we are and whose we are. See, getting to know God's word is not just having something to memorize. It's not to think, okay, I know this scripture, I know that scripture. It's not about the knowledge anyway. It's about knowing the person who wrote it. It's about knowing the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, God's word tells us of his character. It describes his very nature. It shows us what he has done before and what he's done for other people that he loves just as much as he loves us. And so I've got a friend that describes the Bible this way. It's God's love letter to his people. He cares for his people. He cares for you and I so much that he speaks over and over and over, showing his love, reminding us over and over that you are beloved. Reminding us that he's not looking for perfect people, but he's looking for sold out people. He's looking for willing people. But the enemy tries to tell us that we're no good, that we messed up, that God would never use us, that we shouldn't have talked that way or done that thing, or that God is passing us by to go to the church down the street. Don't worry about what the enemy is trying to say. God has already shown us what to do. He reminds us to cling to him in that time. He's right there. He's not distant at all. So we start this morning here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which I was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul says to Timothy to hold fast to this pattern of sound words. Hold fast to the words that you heard from the beginning. Hold on to the power in the words that you heard. Cling to God's words, to what he says. The phrase hold fast here, when you look that word up in the Greek, it literally means to keep secure or to cling tightly to or keep firm possession of. It's clinging to it and not letting go. Now, it's good to let go of the things of this world to see if God brings them back to us. But we have to hold on to the constantness of our faith in Jesus. Seasons will change. I was reminded of that yesterday as I was on the tractor and it started snowing on me. But seasons will change. People will come and go. But the one constant that we have is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So we have to hold fast to him. We have to hold fast to his words. We have to hold fast to our faith in him. Paul's writing to remind Timothy that this is the answer to the battle that he sees. The answer is to cling to Jesus. The enemy tries to take and take and take. The enemy tries to wear us down. He tries to throw frustration at us, discouragement, doubt. He don't play fair, but he don't play smart either. See, the enemy, one of his tactics, he tries to get us to question. He tries to get us to doubt. He wants us to think twice about our faith. He wants to try to twist our faith. He wants us to turn it into something other than it's supposed to be. But we must return to our faith in Jesus, that he is who he said he is. We must return to the foundations that we have in our faith. We return to our well that we draw from, the well of God. Paul tells Timothy to hold fast to the sound words that he heard from Paul. So often, some of the biggest words that we hear are words from when we were young. The ones that stick with us the most sometimes are when we were mere infants. The same goes with our spiritual words as well. Some of the most powerful words that we go back to are nuggets that we learned when we were freshly saved, when we just started this relationship with Christ, that he showed us and he set the tone for most of the other things that we received from him. God's word is foundational to our faith. The words in our Bible are not wrong. They don't contradict themselves. They're not out of context. They're not outdated. They are timely. One of the fundamental foundations of our faith is that every single thing that the Bible says is true. It was written by God through about 40 different people, but they're all saying the same message. God's word is infallible. It's 100% true. The word of God is powerful. In Hebrews 4, verse 11, therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give account. It's important to get the word of God in us. It's how we remember things. It gives us a reference point to judge everything else off of. It's what our lives should be referenced from. We're not judged by how many good things we've done, but by how our actions and our thoughts and our love for Jesus lines up to his word. Jesus gives us a clean slate when we said yes to the relationship with him. He cleanses us by his blood. He separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, to where we are free to live for him. We're no longer slaves to who we used to be. We're not bound by where we are or where we were. It truly opens up a new life for us. We're made free in his image. He sets us free from the old us, but we must fill ourselves up or the enemy will try to come back. The enemy looks for an opening. If we haven't filled ourselves up from all the bad stuff that we got rid of by Jesus, we're ripe for Satan and his minions to try to come back. Nature abhors a vacuum. Something will naturally try to fill it. Here's a quote from Mark Verkler. There are no vacuums in the spiritual world. What is not filled with divine faith is quickly filled with demonic fear. Faith is a spirit-anointed expectation. It's the light that drives out the darkness of negative expectations. Faith in Jesus is exactly what's needed to live this new life that He's given us. Faith in Jesus is exactly what got us this new life. And it's what keeps us in the new life as well. So we must focus back to the faith that we have in Him. All right, you Bible scholars, where does faith come from? Yeah, absolutely. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is birthed in our hearts and our mind as Holy Spirit reveals God's promises to us. His Word is filled with His promises. We must let Him reveal them to us, though. We must pay attention to what He says, because He is faithful to show us things. He's faithful to tell us things. It's pretty sweet, isn't it? The God Himself would show us stuff and talk to us. But be careful, because He shows us stuff for us to do something with it. He wants us to embrace it with the intention of, okay, God, what do you want me to do with what you're showing me? We have to be purposeful about how we receive God's word and look for what it is He's telling us. Because He will continue to show us things in His word. He doesn't give us the full revelation all at once. He builds on it. If He gave us it all in one big scoop, sometimes it would be hard to hold. You know, I was thinking about how you guys have family get-togethers, and a lot of times you end up with a big buffet on somebody's island or on somebody's countertops. And so you start going through the line. So you grab a plate. Usually the first thing in line is mashed potatoes, because everybody puts something on mashed potatoes, am I right? I don't say whether it be gravy or corn. I don't know why you guys put corn on there, but I've seen people put corn on their mashed potatoes. But so the first thing you put on your plate is usually mashed potatoes. Now, anybody else do like I do, where you get that big old big scoopful, and then you go and you plop it on your plate? And a lot of times you hope that somebody got out the good Chinette stuff, so that way the flimsy paper plates didn't give way. But when you plop that down on there all in one big bunch, a lot of times it tries to give way or it tries to get out of your hands, even if you're using the good glass plates. But if you take and you put a little bit on there, and then you put a little bit on there, it's not as big of a jolt when you first receive it. It's the way God kind of does with His word and His revelation sometimes, as He shows it to us little by little, as we need it. He gives us smaller portions so it's not overloading to us. He gives us exactly what we need for that time. He continues to give us more and more revelation, though, every step of the way. Those of you who have been coming on Wednesday nights, you've heard over the last few months how God's word was written by a spiritual being for spiritual beings. We got to read His word through our spiritual eyes, hear it through our spiritual ears, because He reveals things every single time we do it. We got to let Him be the one to show us what He's saying, though. He'll confirm what we're reading by Holy Spirit in us, but we have to receive it by faith in Jesus. Faith that He is who He says He is. We got to be fully sold out to it. We must hold fast to His word by faith. We go back to His words, not what man has said, but by what God has said Himself. See, Paul had warned the church in Ephesus not to be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine or by the trickery of men. We must hold fast to our faith in Jesus. Paul turns here from, in 2 Timothy 1, from explaining about faithful actions to contrasting it about some men who are unfaithful. 2 Timothy 1:15, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among who are Phlegias and Hermogenes." Paul saw the wolves move in. They introduced some false teaching. They pulled people away from the stuff that they had learned, and they did it cunningly. They swept through the whole area, leading people astray. They likely picked off some people in prominent positions, getting them to go along with what they were saying, and then getting them to continue the narrative, influencing others as well. Here's likely how they did it. I say likely because, as I said, the enemy is not smart with his tactics. He plays the same games over and over and over. He started with the truth, but mixed it with a lie. He added a twist to it. Made it sound like it was something that kind of went with what they were already told, but it was a half-truth and it was drawing them away from God. And then as the enemy introduced one lie, and then another, and then another, it moved them further and further from God. Because it was a lie that the enemy was able to get them to believe. And then it became contagious. They pushed back and they mixed the truth and the lies. And sadly, that still happens today. Instead of the church hearing people out on the doctrines and seeing what other churches are saying, seeing what other churches are focusing on, people are quick to write off a denomination or a group sometimes, instead of hearing why it is that they think that way. Hear me out here. When you shut someone down without hearing from where they're coming from, they're already turned off because you didn't even listen to what they were saying. Sometimes people say something, but when you actually have a conversation about it and ask them for details of what it is that makes them think that way, they don't have an answer. Sometimes they start to ask themselves then, okay, well, what is it that made me think that? You can give them some scriptures and they go look something up. See what God says there. Let them do the studying for themselves. Let God be the one to show it to him himself. Hearing it from someone else, yeah, it's okay. It works. But hearing it from God, it can't be beat. It's how God wanted it anyway. God wanted to be the one to have the conversations with us himself. He wants to be the one to tell us something, to show us something. Because when we hear it from him, we go running back to that word that we know that we heard from him personally. God will show up, but we must let him show us. One of the worst things right now is writing off other denominations because they might think differently about it. So instead of embracing what it is that they do amplify, some people are uncomfortable with tongues and healings, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't still do it today. But we're not competing with other churches. We're brothers and sisters with them. As long as they preach Christ and him crucified, that is the key thing. As long as they say that he is the only way to the Father, that is the main thing. All the other details we can figure out later. The rest, we'll sort it out in the end. We'll find out for sure in heaven one day. And we'll see where God shows us how he lined it all up with what his plan was for that time. Whether we think they are wrong for not embracing it, or they think that we're wrong for embracing it, we'll find out that God says, you know what, just love each other anyway and show my love to those outside. Don't depart from the faith. Don't get caught up on the little things. Jesus is greater than the disagreements. And he blesses the unity of the believers. Paul doesn't stop with referring to the ones who departed from the faith. He then reminded Timothy of someone that was being faithful. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus. We see God use people over and over as examples, both good examples and poor examples. God uses people to show his relationships to others. God is into using people who are sold out, using willing people. He's not looking for someone who's perfect. He's just looking for someone who's available. Don't think that if you have a past or if you have issues that God won't use you. He used King David even with the problems he had with Bathsheba. He was still known as a man after God's own heart. You know, Moses couldn't put a sentence together without tripping over his words. Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish because he was running from God. And even the Apostle Paul, he was killing Christians before he was changed on the road to Damascus. All these men had issues. Yet God used them because they were available. We see here that Paul encourages Timothy to be encouraged, even though he mentions these bad things of people leaving the faith. He says to be encouraged by this man that he's seen his kindness, that this Onesiphorus, that he went against the status quo, he went against the grain. In an area that everyone else was throwing Paul under the bus, and people were perverting the gospel, this guy stuck with it. He continued to do what was right, even when the people around him were thinking and saying otherwise. He stuck with the original gospel that he was presented. In an area of unfaithful men, he stayed faithful. He was carrying on the faith that he had been entrusted with. He was carrying on the pattern of sound words that he had received. Also, if we look at this passage in the Message translation, in verse 13, so keep at your work this faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. Verse 15, I'm sure you know by now that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygelus and Hermogenes, but God bless Onesiphorus and his family. Many's the time I've been refreshed in that house, and he wasn't embarrassed a bit that I was in jail. The first thing he did when he got to Rome was look me up. May God on the last day treat him as well as he treated me. And then there was all the help he provided me in Ephesus, but you know that better than I. We have to guard the word in our hearts. We absolutely must pay attention to it and cherish it. It's something valuable. We shouldn't treat it as ordinary. We must stay steadfast in the faith, immovable, abounding in love, truth, and mercy. One last scripture for you guys. If you're still here in 2 Timothy Just flip a page or two to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. We're going to pick up in verse 10 of 2 Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for the correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the day that we're living in. Evil men and imposters grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The stuff that we're dealing with in the news today, the world is growing worse and worse. The leaders of this world are embracing it. People are living a lie. They're embracing the way that the world wants to do things, far departing the Word of God. Biblical living. Living our lives according to God's will. They are deceiving people. They're watering down the gospel. They're changing what church looks like. Church isn't really being seen as a gathering place to interact with people and be encouraged. It's practically relegating it to a TV show to watch between 10 and 11:30 on a Sunday morning. We have to have our spiritual ears on. We have to be listening to what is going on. Look at it from a spiritual realm. The more we know from reading God's Word, the more we get ourselves in it. And the more we get it in our hearts. The more we hide it in our hearts, the more it stays with us to draw from. God's Word does what it sets out to do. We get changed by His Word. The world wants us to adjust how we hear things and turn up the volume of them more and more. It wants us to turn God's volume down more. But we must stick with it. We have to remain in the faith, giving love and grace and mercy to all those around us. To be a calm voice in an anxious world. We're blessed to have a Father who is willing to have a relationship with us. We can come boldly to the Father. He can take all our cares from us. We cast it all on Jesus and receive the goodness that He has for us. I'm heartbroken by the backsliders and the prodigals, the ones who knew and understood the power and love of Jesus, and then they departed from it. But God hasn't given up on them. He desires for them to return. I keep hearing in my spirit man that they are returning too. Because God is a loving Father. He's watching for His sons and daughters to return to Him. This world that we're living in might be flat out weird at times. But God's kingdom is so much better than this world. So let's purpose in our hearts to remain in the faith and remain in His Word and remain in His presence and take it all to Him personally in prayer and worship. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for all the promises that You have in Your Word, God. We thank You for all your nature that you reveal to us in your word. Lord, we hold fast to what you have said, Lord. We hold fast to what you are still saying. And Lord, we cling to what you will still say in the future. Lord, we thank you that you have not given up on us. You have not given up on this world. Lord, you have not given up on anyone at all. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in us and through us. Lord, let us recognize your biblical truths. Lord, let us live out your biblical truths to where when people see our lives, they can't help but see you. Lord, we give you full reign in our lives. Lord, anything that you want to change, have your way. Lord, anything that you want us to do differently, Lord, we are open to that. Lord, we want you and your relationship to be seen clearly. Lord, we thank you that you made a way for that relationship. We thank you that you gave Jesus to be the way that we could be reconciled back to you. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful things that you have done, the wonderful things that you are continuing to do. Lord, we praise you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.